The Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchos Git, lists off the 10 dinim that are required for a get, 10 prerequisites, and he quotes the pasuk that indicates each one. So the first din is that the husband has to give the get out of his own free will. It's learned that from a special pasuk. Why do you need a pasuk? It's a kinyan shtar. Every kinyan needs that. So that's what Rav Shach has in his sefer. And Rav Soloveitchik used to say this in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the Rambam quotes it from a separate pasuk. It means that you need a higher level of das by a get than you need by other kinyonim. As an indication that this is so, when you attend a sidra get, so the first thing that Bezna asks the husband, are you giving the get out of your own free will, or is somebody pressuring you to give the get, or did you take a shvuah? Did you promise your wife? Did you shake hands at Kiyas Kaf? Is also a promise. Did you promise your wife that you're going to give her a get? If the husband promised out of his own, no one forced him into promising. If he promised on his own with a shvuah that he's going to give a get, there's a minority opinion that we're choshish for, that makes it into a get bal korchai. By a wedding, we always do like that. When they get engaged, they promise each other they're going to get married, and they fill out tenayim. And the tenayim means each father is going to see to it that his child gets married by a certain date, and if he doesn't marry on by that date, he's going to pay a penalty. So by a get, if they would make such an obligation that they're going to give a get and they're accepting a penalty, if they don't give the get by a certain date, they're going to pay a penalty of money, we're machmen that that's called the get bal korcha b'choshish for that minority opinion. And the Rishon, so how come by Kiddushin it's not a problem? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes, and even as Pischei Tshuva quotes the Shuas Yankiv. Shuas Yankiv is a commentary on Abechal Kishulchan Aruch. So he asked that kashin. So in yeshivas, they say, according to Rav Chaim, that's the teretz, that a get needs a higher level of das even than Kiddushin. Kiddushin needs a higher level of das than Mekach and Memkah. How do we know? Because the Mishlam Melech and Rav Chaim suggest that the need for Eidus Lekima Dov is that it should be stronger das. When the grocer sells me Cheerios and a bottle of milk, you don't have to have Eidus Lekima Dov. But by Gitne Kiddushin, you have to have Eidus Lekima Dov. So the Mishlam Melech suggests it's a question whether Eidus Lekima Dov by Yibum. Because Yibum is kind of even Shalomi died there. He thought that he's with his wife. He didn't realize that this was his sister-in-law. And still the Mishnah says, as long as he had kavana l'shem bia, it's good. He didn't even know that was his yevama. It's good. So you don't need das. So that's why the Mishal Melech has a suffering. Maybe there's no need for Eidus L'kima Dov. It's machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you need Eidus L'kima Dov by Yibam or not. So Rav Chaim is safe on the Rambam. Hilchas Chalitza assumes that according to the Rambam, you don't need Eidus L'kima Dov by Chalitza or by Yibam, because you don't need Das al Pidin. You only need Eidus L'kima Dov when you need a higher level of Das. The Kiddushin needs a higher level of Das than Mekach and Memkar. But a get needs a higher level of das even than Kiddushin. So that's why if the husband took a shvuah, even if he accepted a knas mamon, with machmer de ramos, machmer anat, the husband committed himself that if he doesn't give the get by a certain date, he's going to pay a penalty. So a knas mamon is also with machmer, that's called a get bal kocha. So the first thing you do when a couple comes to get divorced, so the bezin asks the husband, did you take a shvuah to give a get? And if you did, would you want us to be matter the shvua? So he says, I didn't take a shvua. And maybe if I forgot, I ask you to please be matter the shvua. Now he's out of his own free will, he's able to give the get. Strange. You start off a seder aget with a Torah shvua. Yes, did you take a neder the shvua? You matter the shvua. Then you also ask the husband, did you make any mesiris madot? Did you make any declaration in advance that should nullify the get? That's based on a Gemara in Erechin. Of all places, the Gemara says in Erchin, the Mishnah in Erchin around Dav Chof says that if a person accepted a neder to bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, and he's not taking care of it, so that Bezin Makanoso, they beat him up, they pressure him that he shouldn't violate Balti Acher. He has to live up to his commitment. So it says Makanoso, they beat him up, the same thing. Sometimes the halacha requires that a husband has to give his wife a get. Most of the cases today, when you have the agunas, most of the cases, the bezin should really, if it would be in Eretz Yisrael, they would put the husband in prison. The husband is not living with the wife, he's living somewhere else, not supporting the wife. that has no chayi issues, is not supporting wife, not supporting their children, so you kai for him to give a get. That's the pashtus like that, you kai for. In America, you can't, it's freedom of religion. He said, I'm not Orthodox Jew, and you can't force me to give a get. I don't want to. So the government can't do it. But in Eretz Yisrael, get mikdushin is controlled by the rabbanot. So if a person doesn't want to give a get, so strictly speaking, they should have the right to beat him up, beat the hell out of him. So in modern society, we don't do that, so we put him in prison. There are people sitting in prisons for the last 60 years. They don't, they're in principle, the very principle, they don't want to give a get. So the government does whatever they can do. So whenever Bezin forces a person to give a get, then he has to say, Roitzani. The Rambam quotes Roitzani by the get. He doesn't quote Roitzani by Kiddushin. The Rambam quotes a Gemara that if a girl pressured the boy, the girl held the gun to the boy, she said, you marry me or I shoot you. And then he marries her, so the under duress, so then the Rambam says, the Kiddushin Achal. And the Rambam doesn't say that you need Roitzani. So the Ravid asked, he forgot to say Roitzani. And same thing, that's the Rambam Hilchos Ishus. Then there's a Rambam Hilchos Gneva Vaveda, where the Rambam quotes the Din Toyu Bezovin. If you have property, you live in a home, private home, not for sale. The home is not for sale. I come to you with a gun, and I say, I want your home. I want to pay you in full for your home. And you say, it's not for sale. I say, it is for sale. Either you sell it or I kill you. So then you agree. Under the circumstance, you agree. So then the Gemara says, Toyu Bezovin, if you pressured the person till he sold you the house, Zvina Zvina, the sale is valid. The Rambam quotes that, the Gemara Cheska Batim. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, the Rabbi says he forgot to say that it's only valid if the person who sold the house says Roitzani. So the Rambam seems to hold you only need Roitzani in the two cases in the Mishnah and Erechin, where the fellow didn't want to bring the korban and they pressured him, and the fellow didn't want to give his wife a get, and they pressured him and they beat him up till he agreed. So you see from the fact that only by a get you need Roitzani, that a get needs a higher level of das than by Kiddushin. Somehow bringing the korban l'ritzono, and last week said it says if you bring a korban it has to be l'ritzono, so that has to be, he has to say Roitzani. So special din by korban also. So that Gemara, when it talks about pressuring people to give the get, so the Gemara says there, if the husband was Moshe Maidor in advance, he told his friends, tomorrow I know the Bezdin invited me to come. I know they're going to pressure me. They're going to threaten to beat me up unless I give a get. I don't want to get beaten up. I'm going to give a get. But I want you to know that I don't mean it. When I'm going to say tomorrow, Roitzani, I'm Moshe Maidor today that I don't mean it. I don't want to give a get. So the Gemara says, if the fellas Moshe Maidor in advance, that they're going to pressure him and he doesn't want to give the get, then he breaks up the whole get. So part of what you have to do is bitl hamidos. The Bezin asked the husband, did you take a shvua to give the wife a get? Did you accept the knas mam? And he says, no. In case he did take a shvua, he wants a hatorah, he wants a, like a hatorah sindorim, and then he's free to give the get. And then they ask him, will you moisa meidor in advance at any time that the get is going to be given under pressure and you don't want it to be valid? And he says, no. And then they say, in case you were Moshe Maidor, we want you to make a bitl Maidor. We want you to declare today that you nullify, osi diba mevatel diba, you should nullify the statement that you made in the past, and the Maidor should not cancel the get. So that's what you do before you do the get. Then the get has to be written lishma. That's how the Masechta begins, with the dinim of lishma. See if habal is necessary. The Gemara says, when the husband, let's say this happens to be a get that was kessel. So it was just written yesterday. Just written yesterday. But they can't use it, so they gave it to me to show the students. So some of the letters are big. That's in the Gemara later on. Pei Vov, Pei Hema, Beis Pei Vav. Gemara says certain letters you have to have a long Vov. Some of the letters are big because the sofer made a mistake. So he just covered up the mistake and make big letters. But other, the big Vavs, there are four big Vavs, those are mentioned in the Gemara. And a big A, that's mentioned in the Gemara, that you should make big letters. So the Gemara says, if I give the get to my wife and say, I raise the gitach v'aniyor shali, I retain ownership on the paper, I just give you the letters, the words that are written. The Gemara says, it's osi, Rashi says, it's no good. Osi es parchas ba'avir, you have to be makne the piece of paper to the wife. So how can it be marked on the piece of paper to the wife? The sofer comes with papers and he writes the get on his paper. So how can I give the get to my wife? It doesn't belong to me. So the sofer has to give me ownership of the paper so I'll be able to give it to my wife. See, if I'm going to tell him, write a get lishmo, he's going to write on his paper, when the get is given, it's not fit for me to give it to my wife, because the paper doesn't belong to me. So that's why the practice is, says in Shulchan Aruch, when the sofer comes, he has a whole bag, and he has paper, and he has ink, and he has pens. So he's marked everything, the paper with the bottle of ink and the pens, to the husband. So when the minute the get is given, the minute the get is written, that's called lishma. The get is ready now to be given to the wife. If it would be written on the sofer's paper, and then the sofer would be marked on the paper to the husband, then the husband would give it to the wife. So that's not called lishma. When the get was written, it wasn't. It couldn't be given to the wife the way it is at that time. Strictly speaking, you can give a get ala tanai. You have mishnayos, tons of mishnayos and braises. Somebody did him. But the mishpatei hatanaim are a little complicated, how you have to word the tanai. So that's where the minig is. We avoid giving a get ala tanai. And if you wrote the tanai into the get, that could even be that it's a lack of lishma. So the Gemara says you shouldn't talk about the tanai till you're about to give the get. If you give it ala tanai, strictly speaking, there are mishpatei hatanaim, how you have to word it. And the minig is that we avoid that. Then there's a dinim nesina. If the husband puts the get on the table, and he says to his wife, I wrote a get, and it's in the drawer. If you're interested, you can pick it up. Whenever you want to get divorced, the get is in the drawer. Whenever you're interested in remarrying, just go pick up the get. So that's called pligitach magavi karka. That's not good. Minid minasam biyodma. The husband has to give the get to the wife. The practice is that we have a misadar haget. We mentioned yesterday that in Yoridei, it says here in Hilchas Gittin, they refer you to Yoridei Simer Reshman Beis about giving smicha to Rabbanim. So they used to give general smicha that he knows Hilchas Basal B'cholim and Taruvis. And then they would give a special smicha that he knows how to be misadar kedushin. He knows how he's qualified to be misadar haget. So the Gemara makes a statement, Nishena David Tiv Gitten, the Kedushan, lo Yehelo Esik Imoim. So Rashi, we mentioned yesterday, Rashi writes on the bottom of Gitten, the Fahamid base, the bottom Rashi, you need a Dayan who's Mimuna la Gitten, and Dayan who's Mimuna on Kedushan. That's a Takona from the later Amorim. Because the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Otu called the Megarish, but they did a Megarish. Everybody who gets divorced in the presence of the Bezin, no, the husband writes a get and he gives it to his wife. How can the Gemara say, you don't get divorced in the presence of the Bezin? That's our practice. You need Dayanim, who supervises. So the Vilna Gaon says the Teretz is, the Gemara that says, Otto called the Megarish, Bebe Din Megarish, that was in the earlier generations of the Amoraim, or in the days of the Tanoim. But in the days of the later Amoraim, they already instituted this, Takon Mishen, Edevetit, Gitm Kedushan, Loyei, Lesi Gemayim. Then the practice is that Yedavka do have a Bezin for the Sidur Haget, and we treat it like a dintar, we treat it like a bezin. So the misada haget should not be related to the husband or to the wife, just like if you have a dintar. So the dayanim should not be related to the husband or to the wife. Then there's a chumrah, it's a question of Rishonim. And in Shulchan Aruch, Tosfos says there is no such din, but in Shulchan Aruch they quote it, in the Choshen Mishpat, quoted from the Yerushalmi, that the dayan should not be related to the witnesses. Why not? Why should the Dayanim not be related? The Dayan can't be related to the Baladinim, to the Taveh, the Nitva. It shouldn't be related. The Masad Haget shouldn't be related to the husband or the wife. What's so bad if he's related to the Edom? So that's a Chumrah from Choshen Mishpat, that the Dayanim should not only not be related to the two Baladinim, they shouldn't be related to the Edom either. And a Dintara has to be Bayom. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, that's the meaning. A Korev should not be Masad Haget. And the Sidur Haget should be done by Yom. If you have a big Shas HaTrak, then we'll make all that you can do the Sidur Haget by Laila. Rav Moshe Feinstein was always makel on that. He was never makbid. That's what his Talmidim say over. He was never makbid for that. That this Lachatchila, the Sidur Haget should be by Yom. But most but the Dinim are makbid on that. Unless it's a big Shas HaTrak, what's an example of a Shas HaTrak? Let's say the husband is going to go to Indonesia for the next 5 years to do some sociological research. You don't know when he's going to ever come back. He may never come back. So, and the plane is going to leave tonight at 11 o'clock, and he's sitting in the airport. So you have to have a dayan to bring two edim and go to the airport and be mesader again. In the middle of the night, you have no choice. They woke up the last minute. This minig that you have the mesader haget should not be related in the mesad, and it should be bayom, shouldn't be balayla. The original minig was both by sidah haget and by sidah kiddushin. You don't get married at night. More than half the people in the world do get married at night. You don't get married at night, and mesader kiddushin should not be related to the chosan kala. Many times mesader kiddushin is related. Father, the grandfather is related. So the original minig was, if you look in the Yamshel Shloima Anksubis, there's a long paragraph, the first paragraph in the Yamshel Shloima Anksubis, a long paragraph he quotes from the Ozorua, this Chumra, that the Mesad Aget is like a dayan, and say, Git Nan Kedushin, Mishen Debit Git Nan Kedushin, the Mesad Aget is like a dayan, Mesad Kedushin is like a dayan. So the original minig was both by Get and by Kedushin. Somehow, when they wrote it up, when they quoted it in Shulchan Aruch, they only quoted the Chumra by the Get. The Get is more serious than being Mekel here, allowing the Eish Lishish to remarry. So by Kiddushin, they didn't quote it. There's a Sefer Knesses Hagdoyla on Shulchan Aruch. Knesses Hagdoyla is like the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Kara made a likot of all the Rishonim and all Achraim that he had access to. He lived in the 1500s in Tzfat. And he quotes everything in the Beis Yosef. But then in the 1700s, in the 1600s, 1700s, there were more Achrayim to quote them, more Rishonim. They discovered more Kisviyah. So one of the Gdolim from Constantinople wrote the Knesset HaGdolah, which is a bigger Likud. Whatever the Beis Yosef didn't quote. And then there's a Shiori Knesset HaGdolah. Then Chidor wrote, Chidor lived in the 1500s. He wrote the Birkei Yosef. And more, and in every generation, they make a big Likud of the later Achrayim. So the Knesset HaGdolah writes, he was appointed rabbi in Constantinople, and he comes there, he finds out they have this strange minig, he never heard of it, they have weddings at night. So he said, that's connected to minig. The minig is the yimachma both by get and by kiddushin. You don't have it by laila. And he reversed the practice. Today, most people have not even never heard of it. Most rabbis have never heard of it, that there's a chumra by kiddushin also. But that was the original chumra, was both by gitin and by kiddushin, that the Mesadik Kedushin should not be related to the Chosan of the Kala. And Moshe was never Machmer on that either. And Rav Moshe was never Machmer. He was very, very lenient about a Get Balayla. He wasn't Machmer about that at all. When you write the Get, you have to write the names of the husband and the wife. The Mishnah quotes a Takonis Rabbi Gamliel that you have to spell out Kol Shum Chanicha de Islay. For example, let's say in business, everybody knows this man as Jack. Where he lives in Muncie, nobody knows the name of Jack. They all call him Yankel. So what do you write in the Get? Do you write Yankel or do you write Jack? Jack and Yankel basically the same thing. But let's say it's not so clear. In Muncie, they all call him Yankel. In the office, they call him, Jeremy. Not so clear that Jeremy is Jerome or something. Not so clear that Jerome is the same name as Jack. So the Mishnah says you have to write the name Kol Shumach Anicha Dispe. So that's in any nickname or any name that he goes on, any alias that he goes on. So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. What does that mean? So the Sfardim had the practice for many generations that you write his name Yaakov, and then you write Kol Shumach Anicha Dispe, whatever other name he goes by. So everybody knows. She's going to go, once she was going to want to remarry in a certain city to say, but that's not her husband. His name is Jack. His name was not Yankel. So they're going to, no, but it says Kol Shem Chanicha Dispe, so it implies that he has other aliases, other names. So that's how the Sfardim understood you. You have to write the name that the person has, then you write, and any other name that he goes under. Ashkenazim understood not that you write that phrase, Kol Shum Chanicha, this any other name or alias that he goes under. You have to write then. So you write, let's say, my name is Tzvi, when I had a bris, and then people call me Herschel. So Herschel is a Yiddish, it means a deer. Hirsch is a deer. So if I would be divorcing my wife, so you would write Tzvi Hamachuna Herschel. I also go under the name Herschel. So sometimes you write Hamachuna, so you write all the names. You don't write that phrase, Kol Shumach Anicha. The Sfardim understood that you write that phrase in the get. You write the husband's name, one of the many names that he goes under, and you write Kol Shem L'Chanicha Dislein. Ashkenazim understand you don't write that phrase. You write all the names that he has. Unless his name is Yitzchak, and people call him Yitzi. So Yitzi is the kitzur name of Yitzchak, so that you don't have to write that. Something like that. In Shulchan Aruch, let's say his name is Elchanan, but a lot of people call him Chanan. Chanan is a separate name. Chanan is sometimes the kitzur Hashem of Elchanan, and sometimes it's a separate name. So then you have to write Elchanan, the Miskeri Chanan, because they're both names. Even though Chanan in this case has to be a kitzur of the name Elchanan. So that's a big discussion. How do you write the names? Let's say the woman's name is Sprinze. How do you spell Sprinze? It's not a Hebrew name. It's a Spanish name. Sprinze, I think it means, what does it mean? Tikva. I think it means Tikva. So the Chazon Ish and many other Gedolim recommended that now that they moved to Eretz Yisrael, nobody talks Yiddish. You're going to name a baby after the grandmother, Sprinze. So people are going to laugh. Or their grandmother's name was Yenta. So people are going to laugh. You call a baby Yenta. So you should translate it into Hebrew. The name Yenta is a Spanish name that comes from gentil. It means Adina. So I have a friend of mine who used to live, when I got married, all of us lived near the yeshiva. So when he had his first child, he had a girl. He named the girl after his grandmother. His name was Yenta. So he called her Adina. That's genteel. So either you translate it into Hebrew, you pick a name that sounds the same. Okay. So let's say you write the neget, you're going to write Sprinze. How do you spell Sprinze? It's not a Hebrew word. If the person has a Hebrew word as a name that appears in Tanakh, so you spell it the way it appears in Tanakh. If it's spelled differently in Tanakh in different places, and then you spell it the way he personally spells it, even though that's a real, let's say, fellow's name is Hillel. So normally Hillel is usually spelled Hey Lamed Lamed. It's spelled once in Divrei Hayamim, I think, Hey Yud Lamed Lamed. So if the husband happens to sign his name, Hey Yud Lamed Lamed, then you have to write Hey Yud Lamed Lamed. That's the way he spells it. If it's a Rei, and let's say my daughter-in-law's name is Rina. So Rina is never spelled Reish Yud Nun Hey. That's modern spelling. In Tanakh, Rina is always spelled Reish Nun Hey. So even though she spells it Reish Yud Nun Hey, everybody spells it like that. That's in modern Hebrew, but that's not correct. So you have to spell it the way it appears in Tanakh. But if it appears in Tanakh either way, and rarely, let's say Hillel, that's a rare spelling, Hey Yud Lamed Lamed. But if the husband signs his name like that, then you have to write Hey Yud Lamed Lamed. That's a famous, in the early 1900s, there were a lot of maskilim who were making fun of the rabbonim. Apikursim were making fun of rabbonim. So there's a famous story that was written by one of the maskilim that's called Kutzu Shel Yud. The story, this is Chodesh Iyar. So there was a minig, if you look here in Seder Aget, so they have the Seder Aget from before the days of the Ramah, and then they have the Seder Aget that's written by the Chalkas Mechoykek. So in the Seder Aget of the Chalkas Mechoykek, one of the commentaries on the side of the page. So the first line in the Seder Aget of the Chalkas Mechoykek is that you avoid giving a get in the month of Iyar. Why? Because it's a machlokes where they spell Aleph Yud Yud Resh or Aleph Yud Resh. Here. It's on page 140. It's the first sif. You don't write a get in the month of Iyar. So that's what in this famous story about this apikoros, he was making fun of the rabbanim. So the husband wanted to divorce his wife. So the rabbi said he can't do the get in Chodesh Iyar. And then he went to a conference of rabbanim, so he wasn't around after that. And then it was Aseres Meitshuva. Every week there was another reason. Then you can't give a get on Erev Shabbos. Why not? The Gemara in Erevin says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Jewish people he wouldn't send Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come the day before Mashiach comes. So the Gemara says, Muftach Lam Yisrael, God promised us he's not going to send Eliyahu HaNavi to announce the coming of Mashiach the next day. Not going to send them on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, because the Jews are busy taking care of preparing for Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, people are busy preparing for Shabbos. We're afraid that Dayanim may not pay attention and may make a mistake in doing the get. So you don't do a get to Erev Shabbos. You don't do a get to Chodesh Iyar. You don't do a get to Aseres Meitshuva. And then, so, till they finally postponed the giving the get till three quarters of a year. And then the husband's name is Hillel, and he happened to be an Amora, so he always spelled it Hey Yud Lamed Lamed, and had to put a Yud. And then the Gemara says in Menachos, when you're writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, you have to write the Ksav Ashuris. So Yud has to have Kutsu Shel Yud. That's the name of the story, Kutsu Shel Yud. So what does Kutsu Shel Yud mean? So some of the Rishonim say the Yud usually is curved on the bottom of the left side. You have a curve. Not supposed to have a curve. It's supposed to come to a point, a sharp point. It's supposed to hang down slightly. That's called Kutsu Shel Yud. Others say the Kutsu Shel Yud is the top thing on the left side, and others say that is the bottom thing on the right side. Three different shitas for the Kutsu Shel Yud. So because there was a shita that Kutsu Shel Yud is the bottom on the left side, it has to come to a point and hang down a little bit. So we're machmer and a get also, you have to have Kutsu Shel Yud. So they wrote the get, and then the husband disappeared. And then they realized, after they read the get, they realized it was missing Kutsu Shel Yud, and there were ma'aga and the woman, making fun, the apikaris is making fun of the rabbanim, that they make so many chumers and get, they make life impossible. So that's how he made fun. So that's, there are a lot of rules and regulations. How do you spell their names? Let's say the husband's name is Jacques. He lives in France, his name is Jacques. How do you write Jacques? So what's the problem? The get is always written in Aramaic. So write the name Jacques in the French characters. What's the problem? So the problem is because the Rambam in Hilchos Gittin quotes a Tosefta that a get that's written in B'shtei L'shoines is not acceptable. There's no hemshech between one language and another. The Ravid writes that the Rambam had a faulty girsa in the Tosefta, and it's not correct. A get may be written B'shtei L'shoines, but because the Rambam says you cannot write a get B'shtei L'shoines, so that's why we don't solve the problem like that. The fellow's name is whatever, so spell it the way you do it in English or in French or in Spanish. No, the whole get is written in Aramaic. The problem is the get is half written in Hebrew, half written in Aramaic. So that's also B'shtei L'shoines. So the Rashboy asked that question. So he says, no, that's a third language. It's Rabbinic Hebrew. Rabbinic Hebrew is like the Rashbo. It's written like Taisa. It's written half in Hebrew, half in Aramaic. That's a new language. Like there's English, and there's Yiddish, and there's Yeshivish English. It's a new language. So that's what the Rashba says. That's Rabbinic Hebrew. So the get is written in one language. But we can't write the get B'shtei L'shoines, because B'choshish for the Rambam is no Hemshech. Some Amakbid, if you have a Ksuba, a printed text of a Ksuba, so it's printed in block letters, and then you fill in the names and the dates and the location. You usually fill it in script. So somehow that's also no good. Since all the letters in the Ksuba are block letters, and this is in script, that's like B'shtei L'shoines. But very few are machmer for that. Very few. The people don't even realize that it's even a shaila of an issue. It, everything is Hebrew, but it's a different script of Hebrew. So that's a shaila, how do you spell, let's say. So if the name appears in Tanakh, Rina, and it's always spelled Reish Nun Hei. So when you write a ksuba, you write a get, so you write Reish Nun Hei. You don't spell, just because the girl spells it incorrectly, everybody spells it incorrectly. Like today in Israeli newspapers, they'll spell Aharon, Aleph Hei Reish Vav Nun. It's not supposed to be spelled Mole. They have no nekudas in Israeli newspapers. Spell everything Moshe, Mem Vav Shin Hei. A lot of times they'll spell Mole in newspapers. So that's not the way it's spelled in Tanakh. So you spell it Mem Shine. You don't spell it the funny way. Let's say the person has a name Sprintze. It's a Spanish name. So you don't end off with a hey at the end. You end off with an aleph. Unless the person... Here there are accepted spellings. The accepted ways to spell certain names. So we have rules and regulations. If it's not a Hebrew word, not in the Hebrew dictionary, so if it's a Goyish word, like Sprintze, so then you put an Aleph at the end. Unless she signs her name, and she signs with a Hey at the end, then there are no rules and regulations. So then you spell with a Hey. That's the way she writes her name. Yeah. Let's say the family names, the minigas, we don't write. The Mishnah says you don't write the family. Ibn Ezra, Taisa says, Ibn Ezra, Soloveitchik. You don't write the family name. In Eksuba, many Gedolim insisted that you should write the family name. Rav Soloveitchik insisted like that. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Shulis like that. He didn't do it because he said it wasn't accepted. Most of the Rabbanim didn't accept it, so he personally didn't do it. But he writes in his Shulis that it should be like that. You really should write the family names. By the Edom and by the Chosen and by the Kala, you should write the family. But in a get, the meaning is you don't write the family name. So let's say you're writing the name Soloveitchik. How do you spell Soloveitchik? So if you pronounce it Soloveitchik, I, then you put two yuds. Vav, vav, yud, yud. If you put one yud, then it's Soloveitchik, so it depends. Or let's say the fellow's name is Yehuda Leib. So in Yiddish, in different countries, they pronounce it differently. So some people would call him Yehuda Leib, and some would call him Yehuda Leib. So if they come from that part of Europe where they pronounce it Leib, then you put two yuds. Lamed yud yud base. If you pronounce it Leib, then it's spelled with one yud. These are traditional spellings. It's not a Hebrew word. Leib or Leib, either way, it's not a Hebrew word. So it's Yiddish. In Yiddish, there are no rules and regulations. So in Shulunah, these are the rules. If it's pronounced I, then you put two yud. Pronounced day, then you put one yud. The Mishnah has the Takanas of Gamliel that you have to put all of the names, all the nicknames. So the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, they have a whole discussion. So let's say my name is Tzvi and people call me Herschel. So how do you write? You write, in Shulchan Aruch they say that there are three different names everybody has. The name that they gave you by the Bris, Shem Arisa, name that he had when he was in a cradle. And the Shem Shaola Bala Torah, the name that he gets an aliyah with, and the name that Anikra Bifichol. So my father used to do a lot of gittin, so he used to tell over the story. He once asked the girl, when your father gets an aliyah, and he says, Mishaberach for you, how does he say your name? So he said, what do you mean when my father gets an aliyah? When I get an aliyah, they call me up like this. Yeah, that was 60 years ago. That was a chiddush 60 years. Now it's more common. If he had a name when he was Shem Arisa, when he was a baby, nobody calls him by that. That's called the Shem Shenishtaka. So you don't put in that name. But if you have all the three names, the name that they know him in business, the name that he gets an aliyah, and the name that when he was born they gave that name. Instead, they still use that name sometimes. So then you have to write all the names. So how do you write? You write one name, and then you write Hamechune, who's also known as so-and-so, and you write the miskri. When they write Hamchun and when they write the Miskri. So that's a Machloikis and Rishon. So the Ramah writes the practice of the Ashkenazim. The Chabad writes the practice of the Svarim. So the Ramah writes the practice of Ashkenazim. The first name is Hebrew and the second name is not Hebrew. Second name is Yiddish or Polish or Spanish or Italian, whatever. Then you write Hamchun. Because Kol Kinuyim in the Dorm, the opening Mishnah in the Dorm. Kinuyim is Loshan Umas. What does the word kinui in the Dorm mean? So Rabbi Yechanan says that it means Loshen Umas Agoyishal language. So you write Hamachune, if the first name is Hebrew, let's say Tzvi is Hebrew and Herschel is Yiddish, German, so then you write Hamachune. If the both names are Hebrew, or the both names are Goyisha names, neither is Hebrew, then you write the Miskri. That's what the Ramah writes. If the first name is Hebrew, the second name is another language, then you write Hamachune. And if they're both the same, both Hebrew, or neither is Hebrew, then you write the Miskri. The Mechaber writes a different klal, what you write. So he says, if the second name is connected with the first name, let's say it's very common that you call a person Yehuda Aryeh, because in Chumash he was given the Baruch Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So you call him Yehuda Leib. Some people call him Yehuda, and some people call him Label. So how do you write? If his name is Yehuda Leib, so you write Yehuda Leib. You say both names together. But if nobody calls him that two names together, let's say some people call him Yankel, some people call him Jack. Nobody calls him Yankel Jack or Jack Yankel. So you write, so you would write Yaakov. You wouldn't write Yankel. You don't need, that's the same as Yaakov. You write Yaakov. And then you would write Hamachuna Jack, because Jack is a Goyisha name. That's not in Hebrew. But if the both names are Hebrew, or neither is Hebrew, then you write then the Ramah writes that you write the Miskri. The Mechaber says it depends whether the second name, the name that you plan to write second, grew out of the first name, like Yehuda Leib. Yehuda Leib. That's very common, people, based on the Chumash, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So then you write Hamechuna. Then you write the Miskri. Then you write the Miskri. If the second name has nothing to do with the first name, then you write Hamechuna. Okay. The question is, if the couple is married, one is an Ashkenazi, one is a Sephardi, then what do you write? So in Eretz Yisrael, they have that a lot. They have a lot of intermarriage and, unfortunately, a lot of divorces. So they have a practice. They spell out all the names. And then they write, the Sephardim always write, Chol Shumach Anicha Deislei. So the question is, but we wrote all the names that he had. He wrote all the nicknames. The Nanyai for Chol Shumach Anicha Dispe. He doesn't have any more nicknames. So we're describing a different person who has five names and more names that we didn't write. So they say they defend it, and they say no, because we never write the family name. Ibn Ezra, Hashechter, Hasalavetchik, or whatever it is. So that's Kol Shumach Anicha Dispe that goes on the family name. But that in Eretzel, that's a common practice. If you have a mixed marriage, one is a Sephardic, one is an Ashkenazi, so they spell out all the names, and then they'll write Chol Shumach Anicha Dispe or the Isbo. Yeah, the din is that you're not supposed. Tosis claims that there's such a Tosefta. It says on the margin there is no. We don't have such a Tosefta. Tosis claims that there is a Tosefta that in the Garshim is Shabbos. Just like you're not allowed to do Mekuch and Memkar on Shabbos, Gzerish and Meyichtov. You're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Ish on Shabbos. That's a Mishnah. In the Kachin, so Tosis has a Tosefta in the Garshim. Not allowed to be Mekadosh on Shabbos, Gzerish and Meyichtov. But the Gemara tells a story that a man was writing a get to get, a man was holding by the end of his life. He never had any children, and his wife would need chalitza. If he were to die, a wife would need chalitza. So if he gives her a get, then she's not going to need chalitza. His brother's a meshugana, brother's going to give her a hard time. So the husband wants to give his wife a get, so she shouldn't have a hard time getting the chalitza. Or there were cases for years. They wouldn't let Russia, was sealed, you couldn't enter Russia, you couldn't leave Russia, no one could. So a lot of times there was a couple lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the surviving brother lived in Russia. It was impossible. They had the Iron Curtain. They didn't let people go in and go out. So how what are you going to do? So this is Zalman Meltzer. There was a man who was in an automobile accident on Shabbos. He was run over by a car in Eretz Yisrael. And he was going to die. And he had a surviving brother in Russia, and it would be impossible to have chalitza. So what did he do? So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer said, the brother who lived in Russia had a daughter who lived in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Zalman said, the man on his deathbed should be mekadesh, if the girl will agree, he should be mekadesh his niece. So then, if he dies, he has two wives. He has the wife that he never had any children with, an older wife, and then he has this young girl whom he just married. But the young girl is the daughter of her father. So that's the first Mishnah in Yevamos, that if a man dies and he has two wives, and one of the wives is an Erva, one of the wives is the daughter of the Yovam, so then there's no Zika to your own daughter. There's no Tvisis Kedushin to your own daughter. So not only, that's called Soras Erva, not only the daughter doesn't need chalitza yibum, the regular wife that he had all years doesn't need chalitza yibum. So that's Rabbi Zalman had that. How did he know that you're allowed to, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to be Mekadosh on Shabbos. How did he know Mishum Iguna you're allowed to? So that's the Gemara in Gitna. And the Gitna Gemara tells the story. A man was Shechid Mira, he was holding by the end, and he wanted to give his wife a get. He knew he was going to die. So he had the get written on Friday, but then they didn't have a chance. They became Shabbos, so they didn't give the get. Then on Shabbos, he took severely sick. They were afraid he was going to die on Shabbos. He's going to die on Shabbos, and then she's going to be stuck. She's going to need the chalitza from the crazy brother-in-law. So the Gemara says they allowed him to give it a get, to be megarish the woman on Shabbos. They said, usually, you're not allowed to be megarish on Shabbos. They claim it's a tosefta like that. You're not allowed to be megarish on Shabbos. But because it was a mokam migun, so we allowed him. So that's what Rabbi Zalman said. It was a mokam migun here, so they allowed him to get married on Shabbos. He married his brother's daughter. So when he died a few hours later. When he died, he had two wives. One was the daughter of the brother, and one was the co-wife. So that's called the Tzora Servo. So there's no need for chalitza yibum. In the 1600s, there was a whole machloikis. A man gave his wife a get because he loved her and he was going to die. The Mishnayos have all over like that. He loved his wife and he had no children and he was going to die and she was going to need chalitza and it was going to be a hardship to have the chalitza. So some of the Gedolim said that's not a valid get because in the Chumash it describes the Sneyahu Yisha Achron, the husband hates his wife. With the grounds of divorce are, he hates his wife. He can't stand her. Or Kimotzeba Erba's Dover. He finds out that she's a soita asura al baila. But if he gives his wife a get me ahava because he loves her, he doesn't want to have tzaras in the future, Some thought that that get is not valid. Utterly ridiculous against all the Mishnayos. Send the Mishnayos like that. That was a common practice in the days of the times. That's what they said at that time. That's not correct. Usually when you do the get, the main thing you have to work on, the text of the get appears in the Rif, based on the Gemara, on Pehel and Beis. It's all worked out. The only thing you have to work on is, what are the names? What are the names? A lot of times a couple of men will call on the telephone, or call the rabbi, he say, wants to give his wife a get. So the rabbi will ask him, what's your name? What's your father's name? Are you calling Levi, Yisrael? Then when the common person, he asks him the same names, he'll give everything different. He doesn't know what Kohen Levi Yisrael is. He doesn't know what it is. So you get, what are you, A, B, or C? So he picks whatever. So you have to find out, did he know what you're talking about? Or when you talk to him on the phone, he tells you one bunch of names, then he comes in person, gives you totally different names. What his father's name, what his father-in-law's name is. So that you have to make sure. And all the nicknames, you have to find out how they pronounce it. That's usually what takes a lot of time. This story of writing the name, so the Mishnah says, it's a takonas Rabbi Gamliel, that you have to spell out all the names. The whole thing is only with the Rabbanan, then you have to have names. Or is it possible? Is anything there? Rice over there? So there's a famous Ran. That's what the Achrayim all discovered, this Ran. The Ran on the Rif. Not every line in the Ran is so famous. This one is famous. The Ran thinks that you have to write, let's say if I have a Shtar Halvoa that says, I owe the bearer of this note $1,000, and I sign my name on the bottom. So someone comes and he wants the $1,000. I say, I don't know who you are. I never borrowed money from him. He says, no, but I have a shtar that says, I owe the bearer of this note. He says, I owe you $1,000. So if he's only onto it, so the tefi says, Balashtar is mashlem the muchach mitoichai. So it means that the shtar says that I owe him the money. Yeah. So let's say by a get. Do you really need names? You have to have the husband's name. But let's say it doesn't say the wife's name. It says, I have my name. I'm divorcing my wife. I was only married to one wife. You can't have more than one wife today. Chaim de Rabbi Negershim. So that's the Ran and the Ran on the Rif writes a Chiddush that he thinks that writing the names is required ben atur. That you write all the names and all the nicknames, that's a takana de Rabbanan. But that you have to write a little bit, that perhaps is a real din derais. Moshe Feinstein had, when he was in Europe, he had an incident, and every year in America, he would always tell over the story at least once a year, when the boys were driving to a wedding or to something. So he would always tell over the whole story, that there was a couple in Europe, and the husband wasn't all there. He thought that he was Mashiach. And he used to run around naked sometimes and climb up. He would grab people's jewelry, climb up on top of a tree, and he'd say he's not going to give them back the jewelry unless they promise to do tshuva. He's Moshiach. What did he do for a living? He was a malamed. The malamdim, parents would hire a person. So this a lot of the malamdim were not all there. So this guy, so the wife was living with the husband for the longest time until she couldn't take it anymore, so they decided they're going to give a get. So Moshe writes all the shaylos what it was. So they finally convinced them to give a get. So the get was given on a Friday. Usually you don't do a get on Friday, it says. And I think it was in Chodesh Iyar. So they were Mekel. Chodesh Iyar, got around with 2 yuds, okay. And then what else? And it was the first time the get was given in that city, so Moshe had to decide how to spell the name. It was a Polish city. He had to figure out how to spell the Polish name in Hebrew letters. And then the main shaila was that the husband's of Meshugana. So Rav Moshe is Mekel on that. Rav Moshe said, he's not Meshuga. He's a Baal Gaiva. He thinks that he's right to be Mashiach. So someone, it's printed. Rav Moshe has it in his Jewish. It's printed. So someone told it over to Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik, one of the Rabbanim in the neighborhood, told it over. Rav Soloveitchik said, don't tell it over to anybody. That's Ashanda. Everybody knows that. That's an international sign of a Meshuggah. A guy thinks he's Mashiach. By the Christians also, by all the Yom HaSorim. A guy thinks Mashiach is a Meshuggah. Moshe has a very difficult tshuva. He says, Ashoite ledover echod. Everything else, he thinks he's Mashiach. And as his job is Mashiach, he has to get people to do tshuva. So he said that itself is not a mishugana. That's not a labardas. The Rambam has in one place that he's potter min hamitzvahs. That's a different explanation why. It's a very difficult tshuva, has not been accepted. Very difficult tshuva. Anyway, Moshe used to tell over the whole story at least once a year. We have a din, a grusha asur l'kohen. A grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. So there's a din of reich haget. The Mishnah has in the end of Gittin. Let's say the husband gave his wife a get, and he says in the get, "Hare migureshes many bahare iat muteris lushum adam." You're not allowed to remarry anybody else. So what do you mean migureshes many? I'm not mechuyev to support you anymore. I'm not chayv and sheik sus v'yayna, but I don't allow you to marry anybody else. So that's not a valid get. But the Gemara learns out from the pasuk Isha Grusha Misha Lo Yikach Afilu Lo Nizkasha Ela Meisha. That's called the Reach Haget. She's Asur LeKuhuna. So that's a machlok. Is the Rambam in the Magen Mishnah whether that's a din deraisa, a din derabbanon? The Rambam thinks that it's only a chumrim with the Rabbanon. The pasuk is only an asmachta, and the Shagas Aryeh has a tshuva. The tshuva is a chadar. He thinks that it's a din deraisa. Are there any other cases of Reach Haget? So the Ramah quotes a tshuva Harashba. The problem is that he's not quoting us in this quotation. There is no such tshuva as the Rashba. The Rashba says beferish not so, both in the Chidushim on Yevamis as well as in the tshuva as the Rashba. So the Ramah claims that there's a tshuva as the Rashba that says that whenever the Beis Din recommended that the husband should give a get lechumre, that's considered a reich haget. So that's a common issue today. If a couple was only married civilly, they never had a chuppah the Chidushim. So in Europe, there was a Rabbi Tzvi Ferber who was he was born in Slabodka. He didn't learn in Slabodka yeshiva. He learned in a yeshiva in Slabodka, but not the famous Slabodka yeshiva. And then he was a rabbi in London. He had an influence on many people my age now, who were young men in London in his shul. He had a big influence. They're reprinting all of his svarim now. So he wrote his sefer before the Second World War, around 10 years before the Second World War. He sent letters to all the Batidinim all over the world. How did they deal with a civil marriage? So all the Batidinim, except for two, said the same thing. L'chatchila de machmer to require a get. But Mikra Adin, if the first husband doesn't want to give a get, we would permit the woman to remarry without a get, because she never had a chuppah v'kiddushin. The only two who disagreed were Rav Henkin from New York. He said, Mikra Adin, you need a get, and the Ragachava from Europe. And all the other rabbanim said not so. Mikra Adin, you don't need a get. So that's a shaila. Let's say they gave a get in such a case, but it's only a get lechumra. So that's what the Ramah quotes from the Tshuva Rashba, that has a din of a reich haget. So she's not allowed to marry a kohen later, even if the husband died. So she's really an amana. She's not a grusha. She's not really a grusha, so the Ramah is machmana. So the pre-Yitzchok, Rabbi Yitzchok, the Peterburger, he was the most outstanding Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, very strong in learning. So he has a tshuva in his sefer pre-Yitzchok. When I was a student in Yeshiva, the stepson of Rabbi Yitzchok, the Peterburger, was a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, Moshe Shatzkis. And after he passed away, his son was a Rebbe in Yeshiva. And his son lives in Yerushalayim now. He used to live in London, now he lives in Yerushalayim. Shatzkis, yeah. So Rabbi Yitzchok Peterburger, Rabbi Yitzchok Blaza, has a tshuva. He says, he shows that the Rashba never said that. The whole Ramah is a mistake. He says he's not prepared to tell people that not to follow Ramah. But he says, but if she went ahead and she married a kohen, he says, you shouldn't follow what the Beis Shmuel says, that you make and get divorced from the wife. That's really incorrect. So b'di'evet, if she married a kohen, it wouldn't be kohen for him l'garish. Okay, if anybody wants to look at what a get looks like, here is a sample. Okay, tomorrow I'll be giving the shiur from 12 to 12:45 on the topic of Chazaras HaShatz. Rabbi Weiss will give the shiur on Thursday. Okay. It's a normal get.